This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This is your world. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
All right, move on now to a conversation on Ask Your HR. We are reflecting on constructive dismissals. Now, ideally in work spaces, we would have the best experiences of our lives. People would be fair and supportive as well as respectful, but that's not always the case. Sometimes employees find themselves where the situation is intolerable. They feel they have no choice but to resign. So we speak on the issue of constructive dismissals are coming into play. Khumotso, good evening to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about this issue the understanding the importance of leaving an environment. It's not necessarily a constructive dismissal if you decide to resign, but I want to speak mainly about understanding what constructive dismissals are.
Sure. So constructive dismissal, in essence, and by legal definition, is basically a scenario where an employee feels that their work environment is so intolerable that they have to resign. They have no choice but to resign. But of course, that has very specific elements. You know, the word intolerable, we understand it in a very sort of colloquial English sense, but it really does have legal undertones that an individual must pay attention to when in this situation. Intolerability is actually a very, very high threshold. And I think what's very important is sort of the elements that, a court would look at or a CCMA commissioner would look at when ascertaining whether or not a situation constitutes constructive dismissal. And for example, you know, the employment circumstances need to be so intolerable that the employee truly couldn't stay. The unbearable circumstances were the cause of the employer. So they cannot be the cause of, you know, a stakeholder or a client, but the circumstances need to be the cause of the employer and something that was in the control of the employer. That there has to be no reasonable alternative at the time for this employee except to resign. And there should have been, just to reiterate that the circumstances should be somewhat within the employer's control. So that would really constitute the definition of constructive dismissal.
Can we get an example of such a circumstance, Okumajom?
There are many circumstances, but I'll give you a couple. For example, situations where there's sexual harassment in an environment, where there is workplace bullying. Those are sorts of situations that might be intolerable. So it's not a circumstance where, you know, this is too much work. It's intolerable. Work is tough.
It's not a tantrum either, right? Like something that throwing your cut out the toys because the environment is high pressure or that you are battling with, keeping up with your work. Because that can also, of course, lead to a person feeling like the work is intolerable. And that might be an issue of skill. That might actually be an issue of circumstance, but not in an intolerable environment that has been created by an employer.
No, and I mean, for example, you also need to have no alternatives. So, in an example where you feel like you're inundated with work, you have the option of approaching your manager and saying, look, can we reduce my workload to X, Y, and Z? Can we move me here? Can we change department? There are so many options available to you before resignation. It's only when you've truly exhausted these alternatives that you can start to even think about saying, my environment is intolerable.
And when one would resign, then they would also have a recourse, right? They'd be able to go to a CCMA or to approach an organization like that, I guess, to have them remedy the situation. What would that look like?
So in a situation where you believe you've been constructively dismissed, of course, you would resign. Then you could approach the CCMA or a bargaining council in your sector to say, look, I believe that I had no other alternative but to resign. So therefore, this constitutes constructive dismissal. But again, it would come down to you proving, technically speaking, that you were dismissed, that your dismissal was constructed, right? So you would have to demonstrate the reality factually were your conditions intolerable. And that onus, that responsibility of proving that your conditions were intolerable will be entirely on you as the employee. So if you are not able to demonstrate intolerable situation, you would not be able to prove constructive dismissal. So, you know, it's always a very, very high-risk situation for an employee to deal with difficult work situations by resigning. Mm. You know, it's not easy for you to resign and then say, look, I was constructively dismissed, because it's a very, very high threshold in terms of proof.
Fortunately, we are out of time, which are already late for headlines. Thank you for this one. I think it's important to just distinguish between what would be a constructive dismissal and something else in the workplace. So thank you so much there. And of course, it's an important one that Okumucho Mfumadi, who's a labor attorney and expert, speaks to us about. It's not a tantrum. It's not a person feeling like, oh, they just can't cope with the work, it's too much. It's not being upset that you've got a feedback that you don't like. It really has to be that the employer has not remedied situations that are completely intolerable there. So I think I love the fact that there's a high threshold for that definition. And I think it's important also to be managed wisely. You know, you don't want to burn bridges, especially if you work in a place for a long time. Industries are often very small, and people don't forget how you worked and how you performed.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.